of the Bay Area performing arts scene. I'm your host, David LaTulipe. This week, a sleigh bell edition. You'll hear about the clowning holiday cabaret known as Mittens and Mistletoe. From a couple of clowns who are indeed a couple, Coventry and Calusa. Lisa Geduldig regales us with stories from 25 years of Kung Pao kosher comedy. Peter Robinson suggests gifts for the book lover in your life. And ukulele virtuoso Cynthia Lynn helps us celebrate with an in-studio performance of holiday music, perhaps with yours truly joining in on flute and voice. Stay with us. Sweet Can Productions presents Mittens and Mistletoe, a winter circus cabaret, an intimate theatrical circus experience, and a Bay Area favorite holiday tradition now in its eighth year. This year, with a new cast, added clowning, spectacular acrobatic circus feats, and interactive mad capery that will both astonish and inspire the entire family. The show is the brainchild of clown duo Coventry and Calusa, who have developed this unique blend of comical characters, music, and circus skills, now directing for the sixth year Mittens and Mistletoe. Jamie has a background in theater and music as well as education. He attended the Clown Conservatory at the San Francisco Circus Center and has developed his own show about his clowning experience. Natasha Calusa also attended the Clown Conservatory, which led to romantic as well as acrobatic collaborations with Jamie. She's best known for her hula hooping, which you'll probably see some of in this year's new incarnation of Mittens and Mistletoe. Coventry, Calusa, welcome back to Open Air.
Thank you so much for having us.
Of course.
Great to be here.
All new show. So let's talk about the new arc for the show's story.
Sure. Well, this year we actually have a theme that was suggested to us, which is science.
Science.
We're blinding you with science. So we'll have holidays, circus, and science all combined.
All mixed up in soup.
Yes, for a fantastic afternoon of theater.
So once again, fun for children of all ages.
Absolutely. Most of our shows are matinees. We do have one show in the evening that's for adults only, and there will be a little bit of burlesque action happening in there. So if that's your cup of tea, come on out for that show. If you want to bring the kids and grandkids, come to our matinee shows.
The adult show will be Saturday, December 23rd at the 8 p.m. show.
That's correct.
But the opening show is Friday, tomorrow, the 22nd, with a preview at 2 o'clock, and then the full on shows run the 23rd through the 28th. Fantastic.
Correct.
So tell us a little bit about the new collaborators that you're involving in the show, your show.
Well, I'm most excited this year about Veronica Blair, who will be coming straight off of her tour with Universal Circus. She's from the Bay Area originally, but has toured extensively internationally and nationally. So we're very excited to have her come home and be a part of the show.
Yeah. She was actually a part of Make a Circus with Beth Clark, our founder of Sweet Camp Productions, back in the day.
Who are you excited about? I mean, I'm excited about everybody, but I'm...
Yeah, I'm excited about everybody, too. I'm excited to have Nina Sawant, who is going to be doing Sear Wheel, which is like a big metal hula hoop.
Oh, yes, I've seen that.
Spin around in it, yeah.
And try not to chop your fingers out. It's always like amazing. Well, what if they have their hand in the wrong spot when they hit the ground?
I know. Very carefully done. It makes me a little dizzy, but I appreciate the skill involved.
The strength
and balance. I was going to say that has a tremendous amount of strength involved to be able to spin your entire body in that circle.
So I'm looking forward to that. And she's also going to be assisting our friend Calvin Kaiku, who's going to be doing a little magic in our show. And this is the first time we've had a magician in our show. So, and we thought it went well with science. Magic, science. holidays.
Sure, sure. Will, will there be actual chemical experience and explosions going on? Well,
I think Calvin's going to be cooking up something for us.
Yeah, we do have some type of a mess that will be made. It's a surprise.
Well,
something's going to...
Where there are clowns, there are messes.
Exactly.
Well, audience participation is always key to your shows. Any interesting stories from collaborations in the past that may have been more memorable than others?
I usually don't run the volunteer section when it happens, but I know that we've had some wonderful volunteers up who have a lot of skills themselves. That's always fun when somebody comes up. We've had like a hula hoop competition in the past, and you get somebody up there who really knows what they're doing. A kid just gets to show off, and everybody applauds for them. So that's such a wonderful feeling for them to experience and for us to experience to give to them as well. Do you have is something popping into your mind?
No child wetting his pants while he was doing the hula hoop.
No, thank goodness, no.
Luckily,
we haven't had that happen yet. We've had some wild cards, but nothing's coming to mind at the moment. I always love the hula hoop competition because you get two kids and one adult, and the adult's like really trying to get the hoop to go.
Well, Natasha, talking a little bit more about hula hooping, I mean, you know, kids grow up using a little hula hoop, one hula hoop.
Mm-hmm.
When did you suddenly discover that, you know, 20 or 30 is the way to try to do the hula hooping?
I guess when I was in college, it happened when I first got into hula hoops. A friend of mine brought home some hoops just from the store, and we were hooping them, and I thought, wow, this is so fun. And then I sort of started to invent a few tricks, and I had a vision in my mind to do a massive choreography, kind of in a Busby Berkeley style. So I bought maybe 40 or 50 hoops, and I choreographed this big thing. And then I thought, well, what if I tried to hoop them all? And I did, and I got good at it. So now I'm working with 50. I would like to set the world record or break the world record. I'd like to spin 250 hoops, but I need to purchase all the materials and make all the hula hoops.
Is that where it is at? 250?
It's at 200 right now.
Oh, okay.
I think I could do 250. So I'm just putting that out there on the radio. That's my goal.
It'd be hard to see you in all those hoops.
And some of these hula hoops are pretty spectacular looking.
Yes, I tape them up with fancy silver tape so that the light catches them and they look beautiful.
She makes all of her own hoops.
Yep.
So other collaborators this year?
Yes. Oh, I'm also very excited about Iman Lizarazu. She is from the Basque country, and she's won awards in Europe for her clowning. She is also co-owner of Renegade Juggling in Santa Cruz. She actually holds a PhD in astrophysics and has decided that clowning is the most important work that she can do in the world. So she will be joining us and juggling with us and playing with us.
Helpful for the science theme, no
exactly,
doubt.
Exactly, exactly. So it really does go hand in hand, and we're very excited to have her as well.
I was reading her bio. Her dad worked for the Bolshoi Ballet as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she works really closely with Avner the Eccentric. So, yes, so it's good. It's all in the family here.
So tell me about Avner the Eccentric.
Avner the Eccentric has been around for a while, and he, he and the Karamazovs and a couple of other people from the Bay Area were in it together in a show back in the 80s. It was a Shakespeare circus mix. And so Avner's been clowning for a long time, and he works out of the
Celebration Barn,
thank you, in Maine. And his really great style of clowning. He's a teacher as well as a performer. And
so just coming out here for those performances?
He works closely with Iman. He will actually come and watch a show and give us some notes, I'm sure. But I'm looking forward to that. So that's great. Who else? Is that what you asking me that?
Sure. Kate Hutchinson.
Kate Hutchinson.
You can talk about her.
Yes, Kate. Kate is an amazing performer. We met in the East Bay at the Athletic Playground, which is a great circus play workout combo place. And Kate has done a ballet, and she's also done mountain climbing, and she does aerial work. So it all comes together in one body, and she's like super strong but also very graceful. And she's going to be doing a single point trapeze act, which we're looking forward to. So
Fantastic.
It'll be very beautiful.
Yeah. Live music as well as recorded music is always part of the mix. What are we going to be hearing for this year's Missile and Mistletoe?
You may hear a bit of accordion.
That's right. There'll mm-hmm. be some accordion, and there'll be we have got two
some
ukulele players,
so
we're definitely going to have a dueling uke part.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah. This show also has Cynthia Lynn, champion, world-renowned ukuleleist, on my show today.
Oh, how wonderful!
Okay. Yeah.
So I will hear shortly. Oh, sorry to interrupt you. I will also mention at the evening show, the 8 o'clock on December 23rd, that we will have a couple of guest members from Sovo So, the a cappella group. They're dropping by to do a number, so that's very exciting.
Nice. Yes. So that's the adults-only show on Saturday, December 23rd at 8 p.m. Now, the show, the rest of the shows are still adult-savvy, though, aren't they?
Absolutely.
It really is for all ages. You're going to have some adults that are very much entertained by this.
Absolutely. That's what I love about circus, is that there's something for everybody. The adults catch all of the skill and the technique and the strength and the wonder, and the kids really enjoy the silliness, and they just see shapes and movement and they think it's fun. But the adults really understand the work that goes into it, and of course they're just as inspired by the beautiful things that they're seeing.
Mittens and Mistletoe, a winter circus cabaret, runs this December 22nd through the 28th at Dance Mission Theater, 3316 24th Street at Mission Street. It really is fun for all ages. The brainchild of Coventry and Calusa, winners of the Best Comedy Clown Act in the American Circus Festival for 2 years in a row, and Best Duo in the Picklewater Free Circus Festival. And some many, many collaborations and collaborators involved in this year's production. Fun, as they say, for all ages, with a nod to science.
Yes.
Natasha Calusa, Jamie Coventry, thanks again for coming in this year.
Thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate it.
Circus and science for Mittens and Mistletoe this year. No Thomas Dolby involved, though.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we know place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, and my dear, still goodbying. But as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Cynthia Lynn from Cozy Christmas, now joining me live in the KALW studios, or at least through the magic of radio, live in this pre-recorded segment. Cynthia, welcome to Open Air.
Thanks for having me here, David.
What a delightful sound. I love this. I mean, what can be more holiday than a beautiful voice and a nice, light-sounding ukulele?
Thank you so much.
And we got to give a little shout-out to the bass player that's in that track.
Definitely.
Colin Williams.
That's right. Your friend and mine.
Indeed. How did you and Colin meet?
We met through a Fog Theater fundraiser, and they wanted original songs based on San Francisco stories. And I had written a song actually about a healer in San Francisco, and Colin was at the performance and played bass for the performance. We connected there, and we've been playing over at Hotel Rex on a regular basis, their jazz ukulele happy hour.
Oh, sweet. When is that?
That's first Fridays of the month, 6:30 to 8.
Nice.
Really chill, really fun, when stuff like this.
Nice.
Just swinging it as a duo.
Well, next time we'll have to have him in the studio as well.
That would be amazing.
But let's back up first and tell me how you first came to the ukulele.
So I came to the ukulele through hula, actually, through hula dancing. I've been a singer-songwriter since, going on 12 years now, since 2005. And I started out as a, girl with a guitar, sitting in a cafe, writing my Joni Mitchell-ish songs. And I toured the country and coffee houses and colleges for a good while. But once I moved to the Bay Area in 2010, I started gravitating towards the ukulele. I had danced hula back when I lived in Chicago, and my kumu, my teacher there, gifted me an ukulele. I started singing with her as well. And once I kind of caught the ukulele bug, I really appreciated its size, the fact that when I went on an airplane with my guitar, it was always a little bit of a struggle with flight attendants and whatnot. I liked the simplicity of the ukulele. I liked that it was easier to play than the guitar. And there's something about the cheeriness of it. The sound really lends itself to jazz. The four strings, it's like you can have your four notes for a jazz chord, and you can move around the fretboard really easily. So I found a home in it, and then it just has kind of taken off in a way that I never would have imagined.
Well, I mentioned in the introduction that you're quite the advocate for the ukulele, and the way your YouTube clips on teaching ukulele have really taken off.
Thanks. I started teaching class here. I was just thinking about this today. I started teaching ukulele classes here in San Francisco in 2013. I was working at a letterpress studio over in the Mission at Project Artaud, and the studio owner's wife was interested in learning ukulele and knew I played it and asked me to teach a class there. And we just started gathering folks. And over the course of a year, the classes grew to be steadily, 10 to 20 people, and now my classes are steadily 40 to 50 people. It's a pretty amazing thing. I started publishing my tutorials on YouTube, mostly as a tool to help my in-person students, that they could go home and practice with the videos. But the internet discovered that I was teaching ukulele on YouTube, and YouTube is the place that everyone goes to learn anything nowadays. So I kind of created a beginner series on YouTube that would help the most absolute beginner get started. I'm a huge advocate for following your passion and using the arts and music to empower yourself. Because when people can create something, then I think they feel better about themselves. They feel that they can share a special part of themselves, express themselves. And I think all of that leads to the world being a happier place.
That's fantastic. I think that's going to be my destination for 2018, because one of my resolutions is to learn the ukulele.
No way! Well, there you go. I have a beginner workshop, Ukulele 101 Boot Camp.
Oh, nice. All right.
It's such a San Francisco thing. It's going to be a boot camp, January 20th. So you can look for that, and I would love to have you there.
Super.
You started.
Well, for this show, let's keep in the holiday spirit.
And yeah.
Give us another holiday tune. What would you like to play?
Oh, how about I'll play Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree.
Ah, yeah. That sounds good. I'll add a little Carnegie Hall to the mix. How's that?
Okay, perfect.
Cynthia Lynn, in person at KLW Studios.
All right. Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. Mistletoe hung where you can see, every couple tries to stop. Rocking around the Christmas tree, let the Christmas spirit ring. Later we'll have some pumpkin pie and we'll do some caroling. You will get a sentimental feeling when you hear voices singing, let's be jolly, deck the halls with boughs of holly. Rocking around the Christmas tree, have a happy holiday. Everyone dancing merrily in the new old-fashioned way. Everyone dancing merrily in the new old-fashioned way.
Very nice. Rocking around the Christmas tree here in KLW Studios. Cynthia Lynn from her new CD, Cozy Christmas. And
thanks.
If you get the CD, you can go get it at CynthiaLynn.com, I imagine.
That's right.
And the Winter Wonderland track, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, will be also accompanied by Colin Williams on upright bass, who is featured also in this CD. Who are your other players that you had join
it's
you?
Me and Colin, and we've been working on this record together since last January. So a full year of Christmas songs for us, which it makes us very happy. And then we're joined by our fellow ukulele player, Brian Liu. And he gives us a little bluesy edge on our ukulele. So
is this the kind of thing where you record a Christmas album in the summer months?
Correct. You know, yeah, and you know how San Francisco was weird, that you can be hot in your apartment in March and cold in your apartment in July. So we definitely recorded on some days when we were sweating and had to close all the windows to keep the sound out. and we're feeling that winter in California vibe.
Well, actually, it's funny you should mention that, because a lot of people don't realize that one of the great classics of the season, written by Irving Berlin, Poolside in California, was White Christmas.
White Christmas, yeah.
Because no one really hears the introduction that much anymore.
Right, yeah.
Well, in the spirit of Christmas spontaneity,
yeah.
What do you think? Do you think we could try White Christmas for our listeners together?
I'd be thrilled. I love that.
Well, let's give it a go.
Yeah.
I'll try to warm up this voice here. and you'll let's do it. Why not?
Okay, cool.
White Christmas with introduction here in the KLW
Ooh.
Studios. Cynthia Lynn on ukulele. Yours truly, David LaTulipe, on flute and vocals doing the introduction.
That's right.
Let's see.
I'm thrilled.
All right, let's give it a try.
Let's give you a note.
The sun is shining, the grass is green, the orange and palm trees sway. There's never been such a day in Beverly Hills, L.A. But it's December the 24th, and I'm longing to be up north. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. May your day
Well, how's that for a degree of spontaneity? First time, I think, in the KLW Studios live flute.
Really?
And ukulele.
Breaking new ground. I love collaboration.
That's so great. And thank you for being so spontaneous with that.
Excellent.
Hopefully adding a little cheer to our listeners on this holiday edition of Open Air.
That's right. Happy holidays, everyone.
So you were in New York for a number of years as well before coming out here.
I was.
And now you're a dedicated Californian, I understand.
Yes. That in Hawaii.
So other than the teaching and this lovely new holiday CD, what's on your calendar for Cynthia Lynn Incorporated?
Team Cynthia. We have, I have several recording projects coming up. I'm happy to announce that, or to share with you, that Cozy Christmas hit the Billboard charts on its first week of release. And Ukulele Days, I released a record in the summer called Ukulele Days that was based on a project that I did on YouTube called 100 Days of Ukulele Songs. And that album also hit the Billboard charts. So there's, it's just blows my mind that there are people out there who are supporting what I do. And so this next year, I have a couple of recording projects already in the works, one more of an island-style project and another jazz ukulele project. So I'm going to dedicate the first 6 months of the year to getting those projects recorded and also getting on the road more.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. I discovered this year I played the LA Uke Festival, and I also did a big ukulele workshop in New York. And that I have a big subscriber community on the Patreon platform, which is they're a startup that's based here in San Francisco. So I've been able to connect with a lot of my fans online on a regular basis with live jams. And by attending the festivals where I was there in person, I felt like I could really feel that the online community was becoming a real in-person community. So I want to get out on the road and bring ukulele people together and have them meet each other, play together. It's a really communal instrument and has the power to bring this extra energy of people getting the opportunity to share their music with each other.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
More information at CynthiaLynn.com. That's Cynthia, L-I-N.
That's right. .com.
You can order your own Cozy Christmas. In fact, let's go out with another track from that. Let's hear The Christmas Waltz. What a great tune.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in, Cynthia. And let's have a little collaboration again sometime.
That'd be wonderful. Thank you, David.
Stead window panes, candles gleaming inside, painted candy canes on the tree. Santa's on his way, he's filled his sleigh with things, things for you and for me. You and yours, the same thing too.
Cynthia Lynn, ukulele there with Colin Williams bass. We are equal opportunity holiday celebrants here, and this week's open air will go out not with a bang, but with a pow, as this year marks the 25th anniversary of Kung Pao Kosher Comedy, which has each year answered the question, what are Jews to do on Christmas? Well, many go out to eat in a Chinese restaurant, but with Kung Pao Kosher Comedy, they get a healthy heapin' helpin' of some comedy as well. From its very beginning in 1993, the impresario involved that makes it all happen has been Lisa Geduldig, and she's included such luminaries as David Brenner, Henny Youngman, and Shelley Berman. Lisa is also the creator-producer of Funny Girls, a smorgasbord of women comedians, A Muslim, A Mormon, and A Jew Walk Into a Bar, the comedy of religion, and has, for the past 9 years, been running a monthly show called Comedy Returns to El Rio in San Francisco's Mission District, where she began her comedy year more than 2 decades ago. Lisa will appear in a new Canadian documentary, I'm Dreaming of a Jewish Christmas, this month. Lisa, such a pleasure to welcome you back to Open Air.
Thank you for having me, David.
And my gosh, I want to say that this is your baby, but that baby's now a grad student.
Yes, my baby has graduated from high school, is old enough to drink, is now in grad school. You know, when my friends and cousins talk about their kids, I'm like, oh, well, my kid's turning 25 this year. Though we did count the first year as the, you know, the birth year.
Right. Well, 25 years, that's a lot of dumplings.
It is a lot of dumplings, and it's a lot of Yiddish proverbs and the fortune cookies, and it's a lot of people passing through the doors and coming back. We've got some people who have been there every single year. Shelley Kessler in San Mateo has been to the show every single year. If
wow.
I get hit by a bus this week, she can do the show for me.
Well, back up a minute. What do you mean having these phrases in fortune cookies? How did that start?
Maybe about the second or third year, I decided, I don't know where this came from, laying in bed one morning thinking of some new ideas for the show, I decided to go to the Golden Gate Fortune Cookie Factory in Chinatown and make custom-made fortune cookies that have Yiddish proverbs translated into English. So each year I pick 10 different fortunes. It's always a combination of existing ones, because certain ones I love and don't want to let go of, and new ones. So we've got with one tuchus, you can't dance at two weddings, which means you can't be in two places at once.
Right, right.
A goat may have a beard, but that doesn't make him a rabbi. Yiddish proverbs are really cutting and really biting, and this is a comedy show, and people are there to enjoy themselves, and at the end of the meal, I don't want to give them something really nasty, like, you know, may your head grow in the sand or whatever. So
well, you know,
the nice ones.
You must know then where the very first fortune cookies were given out. Do you know?
Yes.
Trivia question.
Trader Vic's. And Okay, I'm saying it's the Japanese gardens at Golden Gate.
The Japanese
Park.
Tea gardens for
yes.
or tea yes. cookies for the Japanese tea garden.
Yes, exactly.
Fascinating. Okay, so this year is the big 25th anniversary year, and you're using three amazing headliners from years past.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy Ladman, Wendy Liebman, and Gary Goldman.
Yes, I decided to do a best of. A couple of the best performers have passed away, so I couldn't bring them back, Henny Youngman and Shelley Berman and David Brenner.
Well, thereby hangs a tale. We'll get to the current comedians in a minute, but after 25 years, lots of stories, particularly this one about Henny Youngman is fascinating.
Well, I knew that Henny Youngman was in the New York City phone book because Terry Gross had mentioned that in an interview with him some years prior.
See, you can hear all kinds of things on NPR.
So in 1997, which was the 5th year of the show, I decided to call up information in New York and say, yes, listing, Henny Youngman, please. Yes, hold for the number. And I called Henny Youngman and talked to him and then talked to his manager and asked if he wanted to come out and headline Kung Pao. He was 91.
Oh, my gosh.
I was 35. He had been performing for 70 years, which was twice my lifetime. I hired him over the phone, and then he just fired one-liners at me, and I was standing in my apartment in San Francisco looking out the window thinking, is this really happening?
I hope you had a recorder going or something.
I unfortunately didn't. And then his manager said, if you're going to be in New York in the next couple of months,
give us a call, and Henny will take you out to lunch at the Friars Club. So I did that, and
I had
lunch with Henny Youngman and his daughter and his manager, and you know, people came by his table and kissed him on the forehead and wished him good health in Yiddish, and it was phenomenal. And then he flew out here, and 91 years old, really dignified in his tuxedo, and he ended up getting a cold that week and dying 2 months later. And for the next 6 months, I couldn't leave the house without being accused of killing him.
I'd
go to Rainbow to just buy some tea or whatever in the bulk section.
You
killed Henny Youngman. I was exonerated by his family, because one sweet aspect of that story is that his grandkids got to see him perform for the first time, and the last time they saw Grandpa was on stage, dignified rather than in a hospital bed.
Oh, that's nice. That's a mitzvah.
It is a mitzvah.
Nice. Well, we also lost Shelley Berman recently. Now, in 25 years, have you killed off any other comedians?
No, only one. Four of the comedians have died, but I only killed one of them. So that's a pretty good record in 24 years.
Well, you must have some wonderful stories about how particular comedians have handled the audiences within the restaurant.
One of the funniest tales was Judy Gold, who is a brilliant, brilliant comedian out of New York, and she performed a few years over the course of the 24 so far. And her set is just about to end, and she finds out that in the front table there is a nun sitting there. She's not in a habit, but she was with Jewish friends and had come to the show, and Judy works the audience. And she found out that she's a nun, and she yells to me on the sidelines, "Lisa, this isn't fair. I need to get off stage. Now you tell me there's a nun in the audience?" So that was, I guess she had to be there.
Any other surprises along the years?
Let's see. 1 year, one guy got on stage during the dinner portion of the show and started making some announcements, and I just had to escort him out there. Last year, I was a little nervous. Didn't know if there were going to be any Trump supporters who were going to get up and yell about one or two Trump jokes that I had, because it seemed to be the MO last year that Trump supporters could get up in live theater and yell at the person on stage.
Well, you had an unusual supporting character come one year by the name of Vern.
Yes.
Tell us about Vern.
Well, in 2007, my box office tells me, we have a patron who's bringing a service animal. And I said, great, I love dogs. And I said, no, actually, it's a rooster. I was like, excuse me? It's a service rooster named Vern. Apparently, this woman figured out, of all animals in the animal kingdom, that a rooster would be the animal that would calm her anxiety, which doesn't quite make sense to me. And then
okay.
Vern wasn't going to come because he had a cold, but then I'm in the green room during the dinner portion of the dinner show, and all of a sudden one of the performers says, I just heard a cluck. And I thought, well, that can only mean one thing, that Vern got over his cold. So I talked to the owner's girlfriend, and I have to point out that she had a girlfriend and I didn't, and she said, oh, so sorry, Vern clucked when 'cause somebody laughed. And I was like, yeah, well, it's a comedy show. So Vern got escorted out. My box office told me the other day that Charlotte the service pig was going to come from Minnesota, but luckily was having complications with her flight.
Oh, and that begs the question, when pigs fly, they'll come
exactly.
to kosher.
Yeah, so that would have really made the event kosher to have a service pig at the show.
I forgot about that aspect of it, too.
And the owner's sister told my box office that she might grunt a little bit. And, you know, according to the ADA, I need to allow in any service animals, whether or not they hiss or cluck. Or grunt. So, hopefully.
In 2002, you established a bi-monthly comedy clinic at the Jewish Home. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I had found out about this film that was of songwriters who were residents at the Jewish Home. They had made a CD of different Hanukkah songs, and there was a film that was of the making of the CD. And I went to the home because I was always looking for different organizations to support. And the medical director, I had recognized his name. He had been coming to Kung Pao for a number of years, so he gave me a tour of the nursing home. and ended up meeting Esther Weintraub, who became my lifelong friend for the last 2 years of her life. She was 87 and I was in my 40s, and we developed a wonderful relationship, and I made a film about her that made the film festival circuit. And I ended up deciding to start a comedy class there, and it's been going on for the last 12 years, and it's called the Comedy Clinic, and takes place twice a month, and a friend of mine teaches the class and teaches different improv exercises to residents in their 70s, 80s, and 90s, and tailors them to people who are not mobile, you know, not able to get up and run around the room, so they're using walkers and wheelchairs, and it's been beautiful and so funny, and they love the bluest humor that they can come up with. I drop in at the class occasionally, and it's really a beautiful
Well,
thing.
Well, it has been scientifically proven that laughter is the best medicine.
It is.
You laugh for a solid minute, and you've done more for your body than probably an hour workout.
Yeah, and coming into the show last year, you know, because the Orange Man was unfortunately going to be the P, I can't say the word, president,
I know.
His name together. So I was getting a lot of calls and emails from people saying, I really need to laugh this year, and that's our job. So, you know, as depressed as I was and probably the other comedians, we get up and entertain and bring levity.
Is it an unspoken rule that we won't be delving into politics, or is it anything goes?
Anything goes. I ask comics to be relatively clean. You know, there's a handful of kids who come to the show. It's a family show. You know, I've got a couple of Trump comments that I'll make. I know that people want to get away from politics and just want to enjoy themselves, but it's also the elephant in the room, and 98% of us probably in the room did not support him, and
indeed,
hopefully the two people that did will not stand up and scream at me when I make a joke about him.
Well, let's talk about this year's lineup of Kathy Ladman, Wendy Liebman, and Gary Goldman.
We've got three brilliant comedians. I'm calling it the best of Kung Pao, with three headliners who have all been at the show in the past. Kathy Ladman is out of L.A. She's been on The Tonight Show. She's been on Curb Your Enthusiasm, Everybody Loves Raymond.
Several appearances on The Late Show with Craig Ferguson I've seen.
Yes.
Really nice.
And she's just brilliant. She's been around for a million years. We went to the same summer camp 10 years apart.
Huh.
She knew my brother in
New
camp.
York State? Or
yeah, upstate New York.
Sure,
in the Catskills.
Yep.
Yeah, lefty Jewish summer camp upstate New York called Camp Hemshech. So I found out that she had held my brother's ID bracelet, which was a thing in the 60s where you had your silver bracelet with your name on it.
I had a dog tag myself.
When he played basketball. So she's just absolutely brilliant, and I've had her on the show before, and she's coming up from L.A., as is Wendy Liebman.
Let's back up a minute before your relationship with Kathy. You knew her in camp. Were you guys even thinking?
No.
Ten years apart.
I just found out from her once she started performing at Kung Pao, somehow the subject of Camp Hemshech came up. Or maybe my brother said, he had seen her on TV. That's what it was. My brother had seen her on TV and saw that she was going to be headlining, and said to me, she went to camp. I knew her in camp. I had a crush on her in camp.
Wow. Was there any inkling of comedy for you up in summer camp, or thinking that that might be the way you go?
I was always a wise butt. I don't know if I can say the word ASS on the air. I was kind of a quiet kid, but then in adolescence I discovered humor because I was really, really bored in school, and I felt like we kept learning the same thing every day. So then I discovered humor and started making fun of things and talking about the teacher under my breath, and then kids would laugh and I'd get kicked out. And now I'm actually Facebook friends with my Spanish teacher from 7th grade who used to kick me out of the class for being a pain. And she now loves my humor on Facebook. It's so funny how the tables turn. He was probably 10 years older than me, but at the time it was a lot more.
Now you've been out and gay for a long time. Was summer camp any kind of a time of exploration or discovery and realization?
No, I was really dumb about my sexuality until I finally came out at 21. I mean, I had crushes on my brother's girlfriends, if they're listening, and different friends, but I didn't understand it.
Mm. We should also mention that Kathy Ladman is developing a solo show. Does this show make me look fat?
Exactly.
You can learn more about her, including her blog of the same name at kathyladman.com. Wendy Liebman is also on the bill.
Wendy Liebman is brilliant. We grew up near each other on Long Island, but didn't know each other. She was a finalist on America's Got Talent. She has her own DVD special on Amazon. She's been on every imaginable talk show. She's been performing for a million years. Very smart, very lovely. She has this very interesting throwaway style of her comedy lines. And Gary Gulman, who was on Last Comic Standing. He's also been on every late-night talk show performing comedy. He has specials on Netflix, and I love watching his mind. He can just come up with talking about 30 minutes of one little detail of minutia.
Yeah, I was looking at some of his stuff online. He has some wonderful routines about punctuation and grammar and just the actual art of the language.
Yeah, and the two-letter abbreviations for the states and how that came about. And, you know, and Trader Joe's shopping, you know, some woman who was holding her space online while she went and continued shopping, and then he went off on that for 15 minutes.
GaryGulman.com for more, and of course about the event itself, KosherComedy.com for Kung Pao Kosher Comedy. We should mention, of course, that this is more than just dinner and a show. You're using these portion of the proceeds for very good causes over these 25 years. What are this year's beneficiaries?
This year's beneficiaries are Jewish Family and Children's Services, Sonoma County North Bay Fire Relief, and the Jewish Community Center of Puerto Rico's Hurricane Maria Relief Fund. Unlike past years, or every single year when I give a donation after the show, I've given the donations beforehand to these two organizations because people were dealing with the fires in the North Bay and the hurricane in Puerto Rico, and I just felt like the money and need was dire. It actually took me a long time to figure out this year's beneficiaries because there was just too much going on.
It was like
a disaster and a fire and election every week.
You want to help everyone? It's hard.
So the beneficiary aspect started the first year spontaneously. Tamar Kaufman was a journalist for the local Jewish newspaper, which was called the Jewish Bulletin at the time. And she wrote a lot of progressive articles, LGBT, though I don't think we were including T at the time in 1993. And I really appreciated all of the work that she was doing. And she was dealing with brain cancer. And I knew her husband because I was a reporter at KPFA Radio. And her husband was in the news department where I was reporting on a volunteer basis. So last minute at the end of the show, the first year was one show, I mentioned that she was battling brain cancer. And, you know, she was a local journalist for the Jewish paper. And if anyone wanted to donate for her medical expenses, and people just handed me checks, and $500 got raised the first year.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this word in Hebrew, tzedakah, not Neil, but tzedakah.
I think he's Jew. Though.
He is, meaning charity, and charity with a social responsibility. So I continued every year, naming now two organizations over the course of time and giving away tens of thousands of dollars to different organizations and giving them awareness and supporting them financially.
Fantastic. And it continues for the 25th year, the 25th anniversary of Kung Pao Kosher Comedy, Jewish comedy on Christmas in a Chinese restaurant, featuring not only the impresario Lisa Geduldig, but Kathy Ladman, Wendy Liebman, and Gary Gulman. It's Saturday, December 23rd, the 24th, Sunday, and Monday, the 25th. 5 p.m. dinner and show, a nice early bird special there.
And 8:30 cocktail show. Just want to point out that the 5 p.m. dinner shows are all sold out, but we have tickets available for all three cocktail shows, 23rd, 24th, and 25th at 8:30. And the cocktail show includes vegetarian dim sum. There are 10 people to a table. If you're alone and
maybe
want to come
you can
to
fit
the show,
rooster in for an 11th.
Maybe the rooster and the pig can sit together.
As long as it doesn't get too close to the kitchen, my God, it'll probably end up as the next course.
Well, that's what I talk about on stage, actually, about somebody bringing a rooster to a Chinese restaurant. So I just want to point out that if someone's listening and they don't have plans for Christmas Eve, and they want to come to the show, don't feel like you need to come with someone else. There are 10 people to a table. You'll be sitting with 9 friendly strangers, and you will make friends, and you won't be alone.
That's great. It's at New Asia Restaurant, 772 Pacific, between Grant and Stockton. Kosher Comedy, theatreofthefog.com for more information and the available dates that are still available. Well, Lisa Godoldy, shall I or you give the universal Jewish blessing?
Do you know? Since I'm not sure which it is, why don't you do it?
They tried to kill us. We survived. Let's eat.
That one.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you, David.
This one's going out for you, Ruth Ann. A bit of Tom Lehrer for you.
I'm spending Hanukkah in Santa Monica, wearing sandals, lighting candles by the sea. I spent Shavuos in East St. Louis, a charming spot, but clearly not the spot for me. Those eastern winters, I can't endure them, so every year I pack my gear and come out here till Purim. Rosh Hashanah I spend in Arizona, and Yom Kippur way down in Mississippi. But in December, there's just one place for me. Amid the California flora, I'll be lighting my menorah like a baby in his cradle. I'll be playing with my dreidel. Here's the Judas Maccabeus. Boy, if he could only see us spending Hanukkah in Santa Monica by the sea.
Our regular commentator, Peter Robinson, joins us now with some suggestions for not only the Nutcracker, but some book reading. Hello, Peter.
Hi, David. Good to be here. And yes, that is indeed the music of Tchaikovsky. And the original production, which was done in the Marinsky Theatre in St. Petersburg in 1892, is still very much a seasonal treat here in San Francisco. It's been running since 1944 on a regular annual basis. So this year, the Sugar Plum Fairy is danced by Sasha Del Sola, choreography by Hager Thomason, and the conductor, Martin West, brings the whole performance together. And it's a great way of introducing the music to some young people who may not be aware of how ballet and music all come together. Playing at San Francisco Ballet throughout December.
sfballet.org for more information. Gift season time, and always,
if they asked me, I could write a book.
Book giving is always a good idea come holiday time. What do you got for us, Peter?
Yeah, well, I enjoy giving gifts of books over the festive season because it's something which carries on into the new year, and you get the opportunity to discuss what you've given, hopefully you've chosen the right book for the right person. And to me, that's a great way of sharing both your reading, the author's ideas, and the words on the page. So my tip thriller for the year is John le Carré. He's come out of the cold one more time. The book is The Legacy of Spies, and it takes us back to the new brigade at MI5 and MI6, revisiting some of the ethics of the Cold War period during the 1960s. And, of course, George Smiley finally reemerges at the end, having to give an account of himself. So this may be the legacy, too, for John le Carré. He's still writing fine, but he's now in his mid-80s, and we always hope he'll have one more book inside him. The title, Legacy of Spies, the author, John le Carré. And if you're a George Smiley fan, then here you go. This is the book to give to any of the espionage friends who are spy readers. My second is an outstanding biography. It's by Walter Isaacson. It's called Leonardo da Vinci. And I think one of the great gifts Isaacson has is he brings art and science together in the life of this Renaissance genius, but he does not bog you down with technical language. So he's a storyteller. He can describe paintings like The Last Supper in a comprehensible way, at the same time give you some great artistic insights. He also reveals interesting little facts, something I had long forgotten, that Leonardo started his life as a set designer on stages. And I think this too gave him an eye for how paintings come together. So if you're looking for a really interesting storytelling narrative about the life of that great artist and great scientist, Leonardo da Vinci, pick up Walter Isaacson's book. It's well illustrated, got some beautiful paintings in, and above all, you learn a lot more about how these great works of art came to be. Now, for something slightly different, It's a revisit of a past, hardback, now available in paperback, and So We Read On. It's by Maureen Corrigan. People may know her voice because she's a regular reviewer for Terry Gross on Open Hour. And this is for Scott Fitzgerald fans. It's the best analysis I've read of The Great Gatsby. It's clearly this Gatsby was one of her books of her life. And what Maureen Corrigan has done is help you focus both on the life of the author, his relationship with his wife, his final downfall when he started script writing in Hollywood. But above all, it's a story about The Great Gatsby. And one thing I picked up, and I didn't realize it till after reading this, is that in New York in 1924, traffic lights were first introduced. And the reason I bring that up, there are so many different interpretations about the green light at the end of the tunnel and how the waves beat on. Maybe the green light was just the green light in those New York traffic lights as Scott Fitzgerald was creating his masterpiece, The Great Gatsby.
Interesting idea. Hypothesis there, Peter.
Okay, there we go. For people who like Thomas Friedman, regular commentator and columnist, I highly recommend Thank You for Being Late. He subtitles it An Optimist's Guide to Thriving in the Age of Acceleration. And I think if one thing we need as we go into 2018, it's just a hint of optimism. Now, he gives a big, wide view, and the book came out earlier this year. Just as a suggestion, it may not be bad to pick up the new edition, which I think is now available in paperback, because he's added both a afterthought and conclusion, so you get something extra. And the book title, Thank You for Being Late, I think is an intriguing title. And the way he explains it was meeting a friend for lunch at a Washington, D.C. restaurant. The friend did not turn up on time, and Thomas Friedman enjoyed eavesdropping, something I do regularly on the ferry as I come in from San Francisco. So what you hear around means that you can use waiting time to pick up interesting little snippets of what's happening here, there, and everywhere. And as his friend arrived, he said, thank you for being late. Now, one last suggestion, and this is if you're traveling over the holiday season, whether you're flying or driving, is a set of short stories by P.D. James. She died last year, and this is the last of her collection. It's notably called Sleep No More. Six Murderous Tales. And certainly when I'm driving, I find that a audio book can be a great travelling companion. And like many audio books, I've often seen a good story ruined by a bad reader and a bad story brought to life by a good reader. Well, in this case, you've got the best of both worlds. P.D. James was and always will be one of my great favourites as a crime writer. And in this case, Daniel Wayman, who people may remember as one of the voices in Dunkirk, reads these stories. So this is a good example of how a sort of crime writer can get inside your head and at the same time get inside the criminal's head and keep you guessing and entertained until the last moment. That is the incomparable P.D. James. So consider this Christmas, this season, this new year, even this Chinese New Year, of giving a book as a token of your friendship. Legacy of Spies, John le Carré. Leonardo da Vinci by Walter Isaacson. And So We Read On by Maureen Corrigan. Thank You for Being Late by Thomas Friedman. And suggestion as an audio book, Sleep No More by P.D. James.
And as always, a great idea to visit your local bookstore for these
selections. Local bookstore and local library, too.
Indeed.
So again, a very merry happy season to all our listeners and also to our readers.
And to you, Peter.
Thank you, David.
Echoing Peter's sentiments, thank you indeed for joining us for Open Air this year. I'm David LaTulipe. Thanks to Neil Swinkles for his works on the shows, all of which are archived at klw.org. An hour of news from the BBC is next, recorded earlier for broadcast at this time. This is KLW San Francisco.